Title of the message is How to Pass On Our Faith. I borrowed this from Brother Charles Stanley. There's times like this, occasions like this, that I seek information in regards to the day that we celebrate. Finding messages and sermons from others today is not one of the easiest chores. And so I take time to share my dear brother Charles Stanley, who's also in heaven today. He had a wonderful message, and I'm very glad to share it with you. As you know, every believer can leave behind a rich spiritual legacy. Parents leave their descendants an inheritance of investments, valuable objects we call heirlooms, or perhaps land or whatever else they'd like to pass on, because you know when we draw your last breath, it all remains here. But there's something that's more important than the material possessions that you can pass on. And you know what I'm going to say. It's a godly heritage that we as Christians can give our children and grandchildren and anybody else that we come in contact with. And we should never underestimate that impact. Consistent, godly role model can make a big difference in a child's life or anyone else who desires to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. So writing to his spiritual son Timothy, Paul had said, "I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did. And I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm sure that it's in you as well. And for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands," which is our opening scripture. Timothy was given a rich heritage from his father in the faith, which was the Apostle Paul. And so Paul passed this down to this younger man, these Bible principles that was modeled by his forefathers. And so they mentored him in the faith. And Timothy was raised to be a capable and a very trustworthy leader in the early days of the church. So do you have a faith that's worthy of passing on? If so, will it be based on the truthfulness of God's word? The Bible is a reliable source of spiritual instruction. It's the foundation of our faith. And not only do our children need to understand that, we need to understand it. God's word is truth. It's truth. There was a tour guide in the Yorktown Museum. He was actually giving us some information before we went in to see the video. And evidently his time was pretty much up, and he had just came out, and I was at the car getting some water, and he got struck up conversation with me. He was telling me about everybody's opinions and things like this. People have opinions for this and for that. And I said, yes, I said, they do. But I said, between the other opinions, I said, there's a truth to be found. I said, yes, he said, I understand that. I said, there is a truth. But I said, somebody has so many different opinions, but I said, there is a truth. Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth. Well, that pretty much cut the conversation off right there. I don't think he was interested in talking about Jesus, so I did that on purpose just to see how quickly he would respond. And he did. He did at this point. He was older than I was. I thought he should have knew better. Okay. That was just a little commercial. Should be based on the faithfulness of God himself. Have you through the years found God to be faithful? I have. I could go on and on today about things God did for me in my life. You've been so faithful to me. So good to me. I didn't deserve any of it, but he was still faithful to me. And you know what? And thirdly, he's worth living for and dying for. Our faith is the foundation of our daily lives. And we can be assured that at death, We have certainty of eternity with him. God, to remember us of that, as Paul said, we won't need to mourn as others who have no hope. I look out across the congregation, I see empty seats beside spouses. And I know you miss them dearly, as we do. But we have a hope that we'll see them again. So I'm going to give you a list of how we can pass on our pain. How can we do that? Many times the young men are closer to their mothers. They're usually closer to the moms than they are to them. At least it was that way with me. I love my dad. It just was I was closer to mother. I actually spent more time with her. He was off to work. I spent a lot of time with my mom. She was always making supper. It was just wonderful to walk in the kitchen and start to smell the aroma of supper being made. Those are wonderful childhood memories that I will always cherish. And she was making something for supper. But I spent a lot of time with her, and I was closer to her. But I can tell you this. She loved Jesus. My father loved Jesus. My grandpa and my grandmother loved Jesus. They all went to church. I can't imagine growing up in a home where I wouldn't have had that. I just can't imagine that. And I'm grateful and thankful today that I had that. And I believe I'm where I am today because I had that. I have a grandfather that would constantly always look at me and say, well, you should be preaching. You need to throw that brush in the trash can. He said, you need to be preaching. I remember him saying that so many times. And now since he's in heaven, I say, Lord, maybe you could just peel a corner of heaven back and then I'll see. And I'm finally doing what he wanted me to do. Share with our children and grandchildren the principles that we have learned in life. So important. We have so many things in the Bible that we can help our family with, our children, our grandchildren with. Our Lord instructs us on how to use money. The earth is the Lord's, and all it contains, Psalms 24:1. The Father requires us to give him a tithe of everything. That's a very small portion to what he gives us, you know. A tithe is 10%. He gives us 90. Wow. Some of you even think you perhaps can't give 10%. I can tell you, don't ever cheat God. Don't you cheat him. As you know, what you send up before you die is what you'll receive for an eternity. Think about that. What you send up while you're living is what you will enjoy for an eternity. So don't be stingy. Are you listening to me? Don't be stingy. Your life should exemplify one of giving, not taking. In life, you'll realize and see that there's givers and there's takers. Don't you be the taker. Make sure you're the giver. More blessed is to give than to receive. God will give you direction for your life. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. You see, children should have the confidence that the Lord will lead them into his perfect plans for their lives. And that's the wonderful thing about being a Christian. God has a perfect plan for each and every one of us. And let me tell you that if you will learn to follow him and delight in him, he will give you the desires of your heart. He's done that in my life. But you need to learn to delight in him. There was a time I didn't delight in him. There was a time when it was time for church. I got really gloomy. But I didn't understand church. I was too young. And I looked at God as more of a punisher than one who loved me. I looked at him as a big old daddy with a beard and waiting for me to step out of line. That's how I viewed him. had a lot to do with the way I was raised. And listen, Wayne, I'm going to tell you, my generation heard their share of messages from hell. I can assure you. And I can tell you, they wanted to scare you to the altar with messages of hell. And I can tell you, it's the wrong motivation. It's wrong. Wrong motivation. You come to this altar because of what you've seen Jesus do for you at Calvary. That should be the reason for you to go to the altar. Not because you're scared to death of hell. And you don't want to go to hell. When you see what Jesus did for you, how much more can I do for you, Lord? You've done so much for me. Now I ask what I can do more. You've done so much for me. You didn't ever deserve any of it. Even when I made the foolish mistakes, even when I was rebellious and didn't want to do what you wanted me to do, you still loved me, cared for me, and directed my life to where I am today. You've been so good. You've been very faithful. God will provide for your needs. Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He will strengthen you by the Holy Spirit to accomplish anything, any task, any job or calling that he has put on you. And I am a fine example of that. I wouldn't want to speak in front of my class when I was in school. Now, I don't care how many people come out. And there's all kinds of people show up. When I do funerals, we've had this place packed already for funerals. Since our church is one of the largest churches in the area, the funeral homes call me on several occasions and want to know if they can use our facilities. On numerous occasions, this happened. Do I stutter and shudder? Oh, well, I used to when I first was early in my life. But now, it doesn't matter to me. Because I know that God has enabled me to do what I need to do. He gave me what I need to do. And to minister and do what he has called me to do. And during funerals, sometimes there are people laughing. We tell stories. We celebrate. We have a life celebration, by the way. We're celebrating life. As Christians, we ought to understand that. We celebrate life, not death. We celebrate it. It was the life that we celebrate. And so we talk about what all they did. Memories we have of them. And we share memories. And I can tell you that funerals were one of the worst things that I ever wanted to do. When early on, pastoring, when I got a funeral, I cringed. My stomach twisted. Oh. I'd have rather went to the dentist at Andrew Canal than do a funeral. I'm serious. I'm not just making this up. But I want to tell you something. When you can see people's lives change and you see that what you are sharing is ministering and is helping them because they just lost somebody they love dearly. I mean, if you know that you can help them in any way, it's really rewarding. It is rewarding. As hard as it is to lose a loved one, but it's still rewarding if I can help them. Help comfort their way. Give them some words of encouragement, because only God can encourage you. When Charles Stanley was in high school, his grandfather explained these principles to him. He shared stories about how God had provided for his needs. So that legacy provides an invaluable spiritual foundation that had impacted Dr. Stanley for the rest of his life. Here are the principles he was given. These four. Actually, I added one. Pray. Living a godly lifestyle. Your life sometimes is the only Bible that some people will read. Your living epistles known right along that. So people are watching your lifestyle, whether you know it or not. They're watching you. And especially your children. They're watching you. They're watching how you make decisions. Day by day, month by month, year by year. And if we are telling them to trust Jesus, but then we try to work things out our own way, we are sending the message that his way doesn't work. You ever think about that? So in the face of sometimes seemingly impossible situation, Dr. Stanley's mother would always respond, "We are going to trust God." And then she would kneel by his bedside and pray with him. It was by her actions that she reinforced to him how much she trusted the Lord in every circumstance. One time when Dr. Stanley's teen daughter, Becky, had an accident with his new car, he made sure not to prioritize the vehicle over the child. How true is that? Listen, folks, I don't care what kind of a car, a fancy car you buy, how much you spend for it, that car is never worth what your child is. That automobile can be replaced, but she can't or he can't be. Are you hearing me? That can be replaced. Don't worry about it. It can be replaced. Your child's worth more than you, and should be. Second, being persistent over the long haul. To pass on that faith, we need to be consistent. It's not enough to trust God some of the time. And then other times, we make God our own way, which is in disobedience to him, by the way. And there is no such thing as a perfect parent. If you find him, let me see him. There is no perfect parent, by the way. There isn't any. So that should make you feel a little better. But it doesn't give you an excuse that you should still strive for consistency. You still need to be consistent. Try to be consistent. Don't say one thing and do another. Because somebody's watching you. They're watching. Thirdly, participate in their lives. And also in the lives of others. Tell them stories about how the Lord worked in your life when you had faced a difficult situation. You ever have a conversation like that with your children? Don't be afraid to share with them that sometimes you haven't been perfect and you made some mistakes. Don't be afraid to share that. One of the craziest questions I asked my dad one time is, "Have you ever chewed tobacco?" And that was after I got older and could talk to my dad, by the way. He said, "Yes," he said, "when we would thrash," he said, "it was a very dusty job. And at that time," he said, I'd put some in my mouth, but he said, "I didn't really care that much for it, but I sure beat the alternative, all the dust." So, well, of course, he said, "Did you ever try it?" "Yeah, I did. Didn't do so well with it." And so I told him the place and the circumstances, and told him I found this pack of Red Men and I smelled it and I thought it smelled like candy. I put it in my mouth and started chewing and I found out it wasn't candy. When I swallowed the juice, I really didn't know it wasn't candy. You know, that was the best thing for me. That was the best thing for me to happen to me. You know, nobody would have had to tell me any different. Just, you know, there's some things, listen, and this is in my message. Sometimes you can't always fix everything for your kids. And you shouldn't always try to do that. Because there's some things in life they're going to have to learn out on their own. They're just going to have to learn on their own. And it's not a bad thing. Trust me. It wasn't a bad thing. You know, it wasn't candy. And I learned from it. It was good. It was a good thing. And I liked having that conversation with my dad because then I realized he was as human as I was. Sometimes curious about things. Sometimes things are better off left alone than try it. But like me, you know, so you've got to try everything. Boy, not a good idea. Shouldn't do it. Well, now they're thinking, what else did he do? I'm not telling you the rest of it. All right. You need to tell them how the Lord has worked. That's where I was. Where the Lord has worked in your life when you had faced difficult situations. Pray with your children about these challenges that maybe they're facing in school. Then you need to celebrate with them when prayers are answered. When they have prayers answered, celebrate with them. Yes, the Lord's done a lot of good things for me too, and there's still some things that I'm still waiting on Him for. But don't ever give up. See, God's timetable is different than ours. And then involve your children, as would it be appropriately, in family decision making. And teach them how to go to the Lord with everything. Everything. It's not too trivial to go to the Lord with. The Bible says He knows when the sparrow falls. And there was a time in my life I made a couple of them fall. And the Lord knows when they fall. So don't be concerned about things. Don't be overly concerned or anxious. Don't take an anxious thought of tomorrow. For sufficient are the evils of the hour of today. Oh, here's a good word. Transparent. Now, I was transparent with you today. I told you about my shower curtain. That's being transparent. Okay, you catch up? Well, it's okay to be transparent with your children sometimes. Let them know you're not the perfect parent. But you too make mistakes. Are you with me? You still with me? Let them know you too. You make mistakes too. But I want to tell you, God don't put you on the shelf because you do that. God loves you, and I want to tell you why. If you make mistakes, I love you too. I'll love you. I won't give up my love. Not only does it help them to learn from the mistakes, it builds relationships. Oh, and be sure to apologize to them when you do make your own mistakes. Be sure to apologize. Fourthly, praise the child after successes. Take time to thank God together for the victories and the celebrations that happened in their life. Use the opportunity to express this affirmation. Reinforce that he or maybe she trusted the Lord and that situation turned out quite well. This will build a child's faith far more than what strict rules will. And when children experience disappointment, encourage them with the principle we find in Romans 8:28, which says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. The Father is engineering our circumstances for our good. Coach children to ask Him for help, understanding that why a certain prayer wasn't answered in the way that they'd hoped for. Many times the Lord's willing to give us insight into seemingly negative outcomes. Isn't that the truth? Amen on that. Then lastly, pray for them. Pray for their safety and their success. And that they would see God's hand at work in their life. Ask God to send them enough challenges that they will learn to trust in Him. And here it is. Don't rescue them from every tough situation. Because you see, there's certain spiritual lessons that can be learned only through difficult or hurtful situations and mistakes. So don't cheat your children by trying to solve everything for them. Boy, don't that make sense? But as parents, we do try to do that, don't we? We try to avoid, help them avoid it. But there's some things you just can't do that. That's tough love. It's called tough love. It's hard to do it. It's hard to stand by and watch them go through things. But it's the only way for them to gain that spiritual legacy that they can only personally experience through God's deliverance. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Have you considered your spiritual legacy today? What would you like to leave behind for your loved ones, your children? Who were the people that were most influential in helping you in your Christian walk? And what about their lives would you be willing to imitate or would like to imitate? Think through the ways to pass on your faith. Areas in your life that are strengths. And all of us have areas that God challenges us to grow in it. So did this message cause you to think in some special ways about sharing your legacy of faith? I hope it did. It did for me. And I pray that it did for you as well. A faith that you can pass on to your loved ones, to those who are special in your life. Lord, we pause now to thank you for this message that you've already spoken to my heart about. And now to your people. I pray, Lord, that everything that they've heard today will help them to pass on this faith to their children or grandchildren. I pray they'll leave a legacy behind, like the legacy we had from our parents. Thank you for my parents and my grandparents. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for them. They're wonderful, wonderful people. I love them so much. And I know, Lord, each and every one is thinking the same one, same here. They're ones that are in heaven today. Thank you for allowing us to enjoy their life. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for all of them. They were such a blessing to us, such a joy, and we miss them much. We hope someday that we'll see them again. Thank you, Lord, for this day. It's time to go home. Give everybody a safe trip to their homes. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. God bless you.